UnseenMadison.com presents audio snapshots, past and present, about Madison's most remarkable lake, Lake Wingra. In episode one, we learn about once-forgotten springs along the Edgewood College shoreline and the lake's surprising beauty and wildness.
It's, it really is a jewel in this urban environment. I mean, the shoreline is mostly undeveloped. You can get out on the lake and pretend you're up in northern Wisconsin. There are places where you go back into those springs by a kayak or boat, and you can be back, and if it wasn't for the sound of the Beltline, you could easily imagine yourself out in the middle of nowhere. To have that really in the middle of the city is just, it's just incredible.
That was Jim Lohrman, a biology professor at Edgewood College and co-founder of Friends of Lake Wingra. Next, Charles Brown, tireless advocate for Madison's cultural and natural heritage and director of the State Historical Society Museum from 1908 to 1944, describes Deep Hole Spring next to the Edgewood College boardwalk. Lohrman's present-day description follows.
In the rear of the Sacred Heart Academy lands at Edgewood was the first of these springs, formerly known as the Deep Hole. This large spring was on the very edge of and partly in the lake itself. It was surrounded by rushes and was at times a retreat for large fish. Governor Washburn, when he lived at Edgewood, caused it to be stoned in and stocked with trout, and it was commonly spoken of as Governor Washburn's trout pond.
So there are records historically of several different springs along this bank, and we know of two that are flowing very nicely and that have rocks around the outside that Governor Washburn put in. Those records from Noland make it sound as if there may be one or two others that were rock-lined. They're labeling the Cadwaller Washburn Spring, but according to that record, this was the Edgewood Deep Hole Spring. And there's sometimes where you can actually see where it's bubbling up. And this is where the story goes that Washburn would grow trout. There's some iris and some sedges and some other navy things that we planted around it and taken out some of the invasives.
Over time, willows and brush obscured the spring. Many years passed before it was seen again.
So this is the one that, I don't know if I told you the story about when I rediscovered this. So I was riding my bike to work in December, early December, and the lake had just recently frozen. There was no snow on the ground. Obviously the leaves were gone from the trees, and the sun was just coming up in the southeast. And I just glanced over from my bike right over there and saw the sunrise glinting on some open water. And since the lake was frozen, I knew that there was something going on. And I just walked down here, and lo and behold, it was this spring that had been here for 20 years. Ever since I've been working here for 20 years, I didn't know it was here. I had talked with a neighbor who had said that when she was growing up, that she remembered seeing the spring here.
Writing in 1949, Waylon Noland, a UW undergraduate, wrote one of the best natural histories of Lake Wingra, The Hydrography, Fish, and Turtle Population of Lake Wingra. Here, Noland discusses Edgewood's Big Fish Spring and mentions it no longer flowed after 1934. Then we'll hear Lohrman's story of the rediscovery of the spring, which he named New Millennium.
Big Fish Spring. This large spring was located at the border between the Cattails and Open Water in a small bay about 300 feet southwest of Edgewood Point. The spring was about 6 feet deep and was a good fishing spot. It stopped flowing at least 15 years ago and rapidly filled in.
Not to put you on
the
spot
great,
or
the
nothing.
Great New Millennium well, spring okay. story. I mean, what I can tell you about this spring is that, I've had my office in this building since 1981. There, at various times, have been a dock here, and I've come out here all year round. And up until about 2000, this area would freeze solid in the wintertime. There would be no sign of any kind of springs. I had no clue that, and wasn't aware of the historical records at that time, hadn't paid attention to Noland's paper. But around 2000, I started noticing that there was a nice round hole here on the ice, somewhere in between 8 to 15 feet across, and that would stay open all winter long. and has stayed open every winter since. So the smallest it gets, when it's really, really cold out, maybe 8 feet across, you know, something like that. And then as it warms up, then it gets bigger, and this whole area is the area that thaws first in the lake, and then gradually, you know, thaws out the whole lake. But I have actually put on snorkel equipment and and dive down there, but it stirs up very quickly. You can't see much of anything, but I've reached down. You can feel a hole on the bottom that kind of you can just get your hand in. Really cold water, obviously, in the summer. It's cold, in the winter it's warm, relatively warm. And of course, you can just imagine some like big snapping turtle waiting for your hand down there or something. So it's easy to get weirded out by this hole in the bottom of the lake.
Even though it's in the middle of Madison, Lorman says Lake Wingra is still a very special place.
Coyotes and great blue herons and cranes and beaver and just incredible amount of diversity. So despite the fact that we have had quite a bit of an impact on this lake, half the size surface area as it was originally, you know, most of the wetlands have been lost. The fishery is completely different than the natural fishery. Despite all the changes and all the invasive species we've put in and all the nutrients and the impact, it's still an amazing jewel.
Thank you for listening to this Unseen Madison podcast, produced by Jeff Durbin and Gordon Heingartner. Please visit us online at unseenmadison.com for more Lake Wingra stories.